you, Brother Peter. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 4 and 5 to begin with. Now, you're going to have to get your fingers really ready tonight. We're going to be turning to a lot of different passages of Scripture, and so that'll keep you awake, okay? Acts chapter number 4. But no, we're going to be turning to a lot of different passages of Scriptures and looking at the word filled. This is what you would call a word study in the Bible. And this word has caught my attention for the longest time, and how it just pops up all throughout the Scriptures. Filled, filled. And the idea behind it, I don't want to say this too many times as we go along, but it's just understood. When you're filled with something, it controls you. When you're filled with something, when your mind is filled with something, you're controlled by it. When you're filled with sin, well, when you're filled with those evil thoughts, you're going to have those evil actions. If you're filled with the Word of God and you're filled with truth, that's going to control you. And the whole idea is, as we travel through this, is we're looking at things that people or groups of people were filled with. So you notice there in Acts chapter number 4 in verse 31, this is how this all originated in my mind long time ago. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. So, you know, I'm reading my Bible devotionally, and I circled the word filled. Well, I don't know when this was, but whenever I was doing it, I said, well, looky yonder in verse 3 of chapter 5. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So I drew a line from the filled in 431 to the filled in 53. Obviously, both those fillings are completely different, right? Amen. One is a filling of the Holy Ghost, and one is the filling of Satan. Two opposite sides of the spectrum, but both produced two totally different things. One filling produced speaking the word of God with boldness, right? 431. The other filling that came from Satan was lying to the Holy Ghost to keep back a part of the price of the land, right? The whole idea behind it is when you're filled with something or somebody, it will produce one thing or the other. We are all here tonight filled with something. Your mind is not empty. Your heart is not empty. It's filled with something. Whatever you give your mind to is what your mind's filled with. It's a vacuum. You're filling it with something. I don't care if you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60. Your mind's a vacuum. Your heart's a vacuum. That's why the Bible says you got to keep that heart. Keep thy heart. You guard that heart. You make sure those things don't get in that heart that are wrong. You keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. You understand that the heart is the great reservoir of man. It holds things. That's why you got to guard it. It's our responsibility to keep our heart and make sure what goes into our heart and what is filling our heart is pure and holy and true. You understand that? You guard it. You're the umpire of your heart. You guard it. You say, that's a strike. I'll let it in. That's a ball. It ain't coming near my heart. I'm not going to corrupt my heart. I want to keep my heart clean and holy. It's because out of that heart are proceeding all the issues of life. Does this make sense to everybody? Are you tracking what I'm laying down? Amen. I was just talking to Brother Hinkle earlier. I was telling Michael, I think it was Michael Jr., I was asking him to do something for me, and I said to him, I said, is this making sense to you now? Does this make sense? I was in management way too many days. I made sure when somebody left me, are you tracking? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You keep your heart with all diligence. You make sure it's filled with the right things, because out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. That's Proverbs 4:23. And so when we're talking about being filled, we have to understand that all of our hearts are filled with something. You did something this week in your life to fill your heart with good things or bad things. There's no middle ground. It's full of something. I can't look inside your heart, but it's full of something. Could be full of envy. Could be full of indignation. Could be full of sin. Could be full of goodness and gentleness and temperance. Could be full of the Word of God. Or it could be full of air. It's full of something. Filled. Well, first of all, we know that when we were born again, we got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? We got filled with the Holy Ghost. We got baptized by the Holy Ghost. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. But what happened then that we wouldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost anymore? Well, we decided not to guard our heart, right? And other things got in that heart. And then we have to pray and keep short accounts with God and confess sins to keep ourselves filled, to keep ourselves in the love of God, right? So we start with the first one, and there's many of them. So we got to write quickly and move through the Bible quickly. The first filled is Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it says there. It's Acts 4:31. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Write these references down quick. Acts 4:8. Acts 13:45. Ephesians 5:8 says, "Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost." It's an imperative command to every Christian to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody understand that? God commands us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So He gives us no reason and no excuse to sin. Because if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we will not sin. If we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we won't sin. The reason we sin is because we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled is also used in reference to the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 4. All references to being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's where it all begins. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost right now? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you surrendered to the Lord? You've kept sin out of your life. You've confessed sin. And you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, if you are, you're going to do what verse 31 said. They went and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be a witness for them. That's the product of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Filled with, number two, Satan. Chapter 5, verse 3. Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. The exact polar opposite, right? What was the, when they were filled with Satan, what did they do? They lied to the Holy Ghost. They lied to God. They tried to, it wasn't that they didn't sell the land that was the great sin. The sin was that they lied to the Holy Ghost. God hates a hypocrite. To appear to somebody that they sold it all and lie to the Holy Ghost, that's what God hated. God's not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, the scripture says. Amen? He's not looking for sacrifice. He's just looking for plain old obedience. Holy Ghost, Satan. Number three, flipping your Bibles to Acts 5 and verse 28. I hope this can be a blessing to you, and I believe the Word of God will be a blessing. The church here at Jerusalem is on fire, and they're being persecuted, and persecution won't stop them. And they're before the council, and the council says in verse 28, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled," there it is, "Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Number three, filled doctrine. Filled with doctrine. Filled the whole city with doctrine. I wonder how they did that. I wonder how did they do that. Boy, they must have had a big program. They must have had a good pastor organizing everything to go out the highways and hedges. No. What's the first filled we brought up? Filled with. That's the reason why they filled the whole place with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This little crowd in here tonight has the power and the influence to turn Valdosta upside down if we were filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that. I do. I really do. So do you mean to tell me that you don't think we're filled with the Holy Ghost? Probably that's what I'm insinuating. You all right with that? And I'll put the finger right back at me, right? Uh-huh. See? The Holy Ghost, Satan, doctrine. Turn with me to Acts 13, 52. Acts 13, 52. And for some of these, we'll just mention the reference and we won't even turn to the reference, honestly. We won't have time because I won't even scare you at how many points I've got tonight. I'll let you know it's worse than this morning or better than this morning, either way you look at it, okay? Acts 13, 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. It also talks about being filled with joy in 2 Timothy 1:14. They're experiencing persecution here in chapter number 13. And opposition is taking place. The Jews are filled actually with envy. I'm not even mentioning all the filled references in the Bible, but there's another filled in chapter 45, filled with envy. But here it says the disciples were filled with joy. How could they be filled with joy when they have to shake off the dust from their own feet in verse 51? They're not getting the success that they're supposed to be getting. So how are they filled with joy? Because obedience produces joy. When you obey God, God will give you joy even if you don't get the results that you hope to get. There's joy that always comes with obedience. Joy is proof that what we have is real and that it satisfies. When people see our joy, it is proof that what we have is real and that it satisfies. We need to be filled with joy. And the only way we're going to be filled with joy is when we're obedient to the Lord in all things. Let's keep moving. Actually, I'm going to take you all over the place. Acts 3 and verse number 10. Acts 3 and verse number 10. They were filled with wonder. The lame man is healed here in Acts chapter number 3. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse number 10 of Acts 3. All they were, everybody that saw what God had done and how he was healed, they were all filled with wonder. Would be to God that people would see God do great and mighty things through your life and through the life of this church, and that people would be filled with astonishment and with wonder. Filled with wonder. And by the way, everything is wonderful that God does until we get used to it. Everything is wonderful. The things of God are wonderful. Wonderful. We just have gotten used to them. Acts 5 and verse 17, keep moving. I hear them pages, that's good. Here at Beamer's Road Baptist Church, we bring our Bibles to church and we use our Bibles. Acts 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Filled with indignation. They saw the impact of the church and how lives were changed and people's lives were turned upside down by the power of the gospel. And they were filled with indignation. You know what that word indignation means? It means jealousy. All that religious man there, that high priest in verse 17, he got jealous at the work of God. He got filled full of indignation. You know that's still true today? Gwen Hayes, pastors over there in Oklahoma. He's 84. I think that's right, 84. That was the picture I put on Facebook the other day of me leaning next to that older man of God. I don't know why he felt compelled to tell me this, but he did. I leaned up next to him and just spoke to him for a little bit. And I was fixing to leave him. He said, "Wait up, preacher." He said, I just want to tell you something, boy. Don't let the envy of other preachers stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. They won't like you if you do well for Jesus. You just keep plowing your road for Jesus. He said, envy among preachers is a wicked thing. Amen, preacher. I don't know why you need to tell me that, but he wanted me to hear it. And I'll tell you what, I've been around preachers enough that unfortunately I know it's true, but envy can be anywhere. Indignation and jealousy can rise up, and you got to keep your nose down and look unto Jesus, filled with indignation. People get full of indignation. They're just jealous. You can't do anything to please them. You can't do anything to help them because they're just full of indignation. It's sad, and you want to, but I don't know. Full of indignation, Filled. We're going to write some references here and not even go to them, okay? Write this down. There's a reference to full or being filled with the wrath of God. It's talking about the coming of our Lord at the revelation. And that's in Revelation 1 and verse number 8. Filled with the wrath of God. I tell you, when God begins to pour out His wrath, it's not going to be a sweet story. I'm telling you, it's sorrows like never before. And in Revelation 8 and verse number 6. Number 8, if you're following along, filled with violence. That's the first reference to the word filled in the Word of God. How the whole earth was filled with violence. And when God saw that it was filled with violence, what did he say he had to do? I got to judge the world. And that's when the flood came about. That reference is Genesis chapter 6, 11 and 13. Turn with me to Romans. That's nearby if you're in Acts. Turn with me to Romans in chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So what's that? All the way back there in verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, you just write down being filled with sin. Being filled with sin. That's the list of sins of man without Christ and the perversion of man and the depravity of man when they turn away God. And God gives them up to a reprobate mind in verse number 28. There's three steps here. One step is in verse 24, gives them over to uncleanliness. Step number 2, He gives them over to their vile affections, verse 26. Then verse 28, He gives them over to a reprobate mind. And then there's those lists of sins. I think there's 28 sins listed there, filled with sin. If a man will be filled with all unrighteousness and sin, he'll do any of those things right there that are mentioned. He'll go against his natural self. He'll go against his natural affection. Not a man to love a woman, but a man to love a man. Against natural affection. How do people do what they do, you say? Well, I'll tell you how. They're filled with sin. Again, when you're filled with something, you'll be controlled by it. Sure. Number 10. Filled with plenty. Proverbs 3:10 talks about if we trust the Lord and we give of the first fruits of our substance, he goes on to say, so thy barn shall be filled with plenty. That's in Proverbs 3 and verse 10. So thy barns will be filled with plenty. That's a reference to plenty there connected to the word filled. It also talks about it in Luke 1 and verse 53. The hungry shall be made full or be filled. Luke 1:53. I want you to turn to this one, okay? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. Because this has kind of been on our heart today and this evening, we've been kind of talking about this without talking about it in a sermon. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse number 13. And it came to pass as the trumpeters, amen, the trumpeters, and the singers. If you're a trumpeter, say amen. 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 If you're a singer, say amen. That's all y'all. You didn't know that or not. Doesn't mean you have to be a special singer. We're all singers. The trumpeters and singers were as one, right? To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that's wonderful. I don't know about anybody else. You don't have to be a preacher. I don't think you have to be a preacher to want what that verse just said. That should be our very desire when we come into the house of the Lord, that God gets among us in such a great way, the preacher can't even hardly preach. Whoa, yeah, say, put me out of the way, I can't even hardly contain myself. God's just moving in this place in such a great way. Well, you can't have that on every Sunday. No, but I'd like it once a year at least. Amen. Yeah, see what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'll decipher that. That's fine. Filled the house in such a great way. Filled glory of God. Glory of God. The glory of God filled the place. But what is preceded by the filling of the house of God with the glory of God? Unity. The trumpeters, the cymbals, the musical instruments, piano, whatever back here, all of it. The singers all are one. Do you see that? They were as one to make one sound. We are to be brothers. We are to be brothers without being twins. Does that make sense? We are to be brothers without being twins. Meaning by that, we don't have to be exactly the same, but we still are brothers. My brother and me are crazy different. If you've ever met my brother or heard about my brother, we are really, really, really different. But we're brothers, and we got each other, and we love each other. And in the church, the goal is not to make everybody the same. We're not all to be twins, but we're all to be brothers. Does this make sense? Are you tracking? Okay. The idea, we're going to make everybody and cookie cut them all to be the same. And if you're not like us, you're not allowed. I don't want that around here. Amen? We're not all twins, but we're all brothers. We got to be one. And if you get everybody to love Jesus, you'll have a wonderful church. You get everybody to love Jesus, you'll have a wonderful church. Because when you love Jesus so much, that love covers a multitude of sins. You get everybody to love Jesus, I'll take care of a lot of it. Not all of it, but most of it. And they all say, He's good. He's good. They didn't sing, I'm good, she's good, that was good, that speech was good, that sermon was good, that song was good. They all sang, He is good. He is good. And His mercy endureth to all, endureth forever. And when they sang that song, the cloud came down. It's just what I said this morning. The two or three problem, we don't have a problem with the two or three. We got that, praise God, amen. I took care of that with my own family. As long as we come to church, we got the two or three, we got that. Even if half of them are sick, we still got that, Curtis. The two or three is not the problem. The problem is if we're going to unify in His name to worship Him. Amen? Come with our worship. I said earlier, we come to church. The problem is most of us come to church to worship. That's the wrong idea. We ought to bring our worship to church. Bless me if you can, preacher. I'm here to worship. It's a spectator sport. Turn the lights on. Turn the cameras on. It's showtime. Bless me if you can. Hope he's got a good talk today. Hope he's got a good sermon. Hope she plays one of my favorites. Hope the choir's on point today. Bless me if you can. No, you got it all. You got it all wrong. You bring your worship to church, and your worship will give God the glory and will edify the body of Christ. And then when we bring our worship, that's so much too. That's everything. Then when we come that way, the glory of the Lord will be in this place. Worship is not a spectator sport. A lot of that going on. You can see that a lot. I mean, we got Facebook cameras, and hello Facebook out there. We got Facebook cameras. But I don't want to ever get the place when we get two or three cameras over here and we're trying to be a blessing to other people that can't be here later in the week they listen. I don't want it to ever become a spectator sport. We got to have everything just so perfect that the camera's got to get lined up and everything's got to be so perfect that's some sort of performance. Do you understand that? We're here to worship the Lord together as a family of God. Amen? And if I ever cross that line, you can yank a chain in my neck, okay? I don't want it to become that way. If I want to just come up here and sing, it's the old-time religion, we're going to sing the old-time religion. You know, we're not performing and practicing. I sense this. I sense in a lot of the circles, even in among fundamentalism, independent Baptist people, it's just manufactured worship. They done practiced that thing so many times and had that soundtrack run so many times. It's just manufactured worship. They can do it their own way, but I don't want that at Bemis Road Baptist Church. I just don't want it. I won't play soundtracks. I ain't going to do it. There's nothing wrong. I know it's easier, but it's better when you got one over there and one over there and a couple back there playing some instruments, and it's them doing it all together in their live bodies as one person singing praise to God for He is good. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope you understand that. That's a little bit of preference right there coming from the pulpit and not out of the Word of God, but I think you can make sense of it, that they with one voice, the trumpets and the singers were one voice saying for His good, and the Lord showed up. The glory of God filled the place. Let's move along. Number 12, wisdom. Jesus was filled with wisdom. Luke 2:40. When He was growing up as a young man, it said He was filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. Oh, we need to be filled with wisdom. Number 13, it talks about being filled with sorrow. In John 16:6, filled with sorrow. They were exceedingly sorrowful at the words that Jesus told them about His crucifixion, and they were full of sorrow. But the same heart that can get full of sorrow can be full of comfort. It's crazy. Verse number 14, comfort. 2 Corinthians 7:14 talks about being full of comfort. Full of comfort. Turn with me to Luke's gospel, if you will, please. Luke's gospel. Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 23. Amen. Luke, I love to see them Bibles turn. Amen. Amen. Luke 14 and verse number 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled with people, that my house may be filled with people. Number 15, people. How do you get your house filled with people? You're going to invite them to come in. If you want your house full of people and you want some more people to come and you're hospitable to them at some little event that you're having, what are you going to do? You're going to invite people to come to your house. You say, hey, coworker, come. We're having some sort of party or something. Come over here and have a barbecue and fill your house full of people. If that's what you're interested in doing, help yourself. But this is God's house. And He says, I want my house to be filled. So you go into the highways and hedges. But how about them highways and hedges? He didn't say to go to the homes. Remember, they in this story here, they were rejecting them, right? What's the highways and the hedges? It's not the homes. Early this morning, God is my witness. He knows I'm telling you the truth. I was praying while I was driving this morning. I just started driving down dirt roads. That's fun, isn't it? Everybody like driving down dirt roads? Say, you're lost your mind. You must have come from Arkansas. And drive down dirt roads. It's just peaceful this morning. And I thought, what about all these people? Yeah, we got these streets right here, that long houses, but what about all these people? What about the houses that are so far apart from one another? And somebody owns 10 acres of land, and then there's the next lot, and they own 20 acres of land, and then there's the next spot, and the roads are washed out a little bit. Who's gonna get a gospel track on their door? Amen? Going to the highways and hedges. The hedges, that's the old ditch. That's the old tramp. That's the old one that's strung out. That's the worst of the worst. The one that nobody would go to. How's the house going to be filled? You go love people like that, they'll come. Come on. They'll come. Go to the worst of the worst. The one that nobody else will love. It's been forgotten. Go to them, filled with people. Luke chapter number 5. We want the house of God filled with people, amen? I'm not trying to see this thing get smaller. I'm trying to see this thing get bigger by the grace of God. More souls reached for the glory of God. And that's God's will. He's not willing that he should perish. Luke 5 and verse number 7. I believe this is the right reference. We'll find out when we get there. I can't even read my own handwriting. That's bad, isn't it? My goodness. Yeah, we're right. We're right. It's when Peter was fishing and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. What was the ship filled with? Fish. Filled fish. That's a reference and can correlate with people. When we obey the Lord and we cast on the right side of the net in obedience to the Lord and we do what He says to do, He'll fill it up with fish. Same chapter, Luke chapter number 5 and verse 26. After the man of palsy was healed, they were all filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." 17, they were filled with fear. My oh my. So much I want to say. I want you to turn to the middle. Turn to the middle. Drop your hand in the middle and go to the Psalms. We've got just a few more left. Psalm 71 and verse number 8. Oh my. This ought to be all our prayer. I want us to all get there. When you're there at Psalm 71 and 8, raise your hand. All right, good, good, good. Well, most of you there, 71 and 8. Get there. Let's all read this together. Psalm 71, 8. Read with me. "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Boy, if we could live there, we'd be all right, wouldn't we? Because it says all the day. It doesn't say on Sunday. It says all the day my mouth be filled with His praise and His honor. Oh my. You know what that is? That's when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That when you got the first one and you've got the right things coming in and you're guarding your heart. You've got, man, just praise the Lord. I was talking about this in Sunday school this morning, wasn't I? Talking about swearing, but not actually using cuss words. If you got to swear all the time, that's not praise, is it? Oh my goodness, I can't. Whoa. No, that's not like bad words. But if you're swearing like all that all the time, that's definitely not ministering grace to the hearers. That's corrupt communication. It's not edifying your brother. But if your mouth is filled with praise and His honor all the day, that's a proof that you're filled with the right things. Amen? And if you're that way all week, brother, when you come into this place, it won't be pump your primer. Your primer already be pumped. Amen? We got too much of that. We got to get a little more excitement. We got to get us a new preacher. We got to get us some new music. We got to get us some new instruments. We got to pump it up a little bit. Hey, God's people don't need no pumping. You can sing "What a Day That Will Be" a cappella. That'll pump your primer real good. Amen? Because you're already bringing your worship to church. It's already been something on Saturday and Friday and Thursday. You've already been filled with it. Yeah, filled with praise. I got two more. Can you believe that? Some of you are thinking, I don't know if he's got 50 or 25. I've only got 20, okay? Only 20. Only 20, Brother Donnie, okay? Number 19. Turn with me to Romans. Actually, I think Ephesians is a little better. There's three references to knowledge. Ephesians. And then we'll be right next to our next chapter to conclude. Ephesians 3 and verse number 19. Actually, I do have the wrong reference. It needs to be Colossians. I'm so sorry. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire..." What's the first thing Paul's going to pray for and going to desire in the church at Colossae? "And a desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Filled with the knowledge of His will. Let me ask you a really deep theological question. How are you going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will? Pick it up. Show me. Right here. That's the only way. Talks about it in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 14. Talks about being filled with knowledge. It talks about that in Ephesians 3 and verse number 19. Filled with the knowledge. This is how we get filled. If your bucket's empty, go to this to fill it back up. Our life is like a well, brothers and sisters. Our heart is like a well. And what you put into it, you draw from every day. You draw from every day. But if you don't got anything to draw from, excuse me, that's your own fault because you haven't been putting anything into it. When you found yourself on empty, that's because you didn't take the mornings. You didn't take the evenings or whatever time of the day you need to take to fill it up. Read the Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll feel lots better. Amen and amen and amen. It'll help you right here. If you've neglected this book right here day after day after day, I'm telling you, that's your problem. That's my spiritual counseling to all your problems if you're a Christian. If you haven't read this, I got no other counsel but that right there. Go get your nose in your Bible and read it for 30 minutes at least in the morning. Start there. Just read it. Afternoon, evening, whenever's the best for you. But you better get in the Bible right here. Because when you get filled with His knowledge, then everything else starts laying out for you. Then you're going to know what to do for your family. Then you're going to know what to do for your ministry. Then you're going to know what to do with your finances. Then you're going to know what to do with worship. Then you're going to know what to do with decisions because you're filled with the knowledge of His will. You know what we all want? We want the product without the process. We want a great church. We want singing and praising and great stuff going on. But that's a process. We all want to be a great daddy. We all want to be a great mama. We all want a great family. We all want a great home. We all want a great Christian abundant life. We want the product without the process. I tell you where the process lies, right here inside this King James Bible. When you get filled with the knowledge of this right here, that's where it's going to change us. Right here. Get in this right here. Let the Bible get in you, filled with the knowledge of His will. And now we're going to put on the last caboose, okay? I did this one on purpose. Because we talked about being filled with His knowledge, now go with me to Philippians 1 and 11. It talks about abounding more and more in knowledge in verse 9. That's the first thing he mentions. Is abounding more and more in knowledge. No, the word filled is not there in Philippians 1:9, but it's insinuated by the phrase more and more in knowledge, right? Does that make sense? By the way, this is a twin sister passage, Philippians 1 and Colossians 1. They're similar. Both these prayers are very similar. So he said over there in Ephesians, you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will. He says the same thing in Philippians 1:9. You abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We're going to verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God, being filled with fruit. The last filled is fruit. But fruit is the product, the process is the knowledge and being filled with the knowledge. If you want fruit hanging off your tree that nearly your branches break, if you want the fruit of the righteous, he that when his souls is wise, I can't quote the verse all the way. In that next portion of that verse right there talks about that being fruit. If you want to see people get saved in your life and you want to lead people to Christ and you want to have the fruits of the Spirit in your life that are all mentioned there in Galatians 5, be filled with the knowledge of His will, and then you'll have these fruits of righteousness. They're by Jesus Christ, but they're unto the glory and praise of God. Fruits glorify God. But fruits don't come by you and me. Fruits come by abiding in Christ. Abide in me and I in you. You can do nothing without me. Without me, you can do nothing. So abide in me. Stay plugged into the knowledge. Stay plugged into the truth. And as you abide in Him, you'll see fruit come off your Christian life. Filled with fruit. So what do we say? We say this. We better be careful. We better take good heed that we're filled with things that are holy, things that are right. We better be careful what we let into our eyes. We better be careful to what we listen to throughout the week, what we let come through our ears and what we come through our eyes, because it's settling right down into our hearts right here. We better make sure we're taking in the Word of God. We better make sure we're taking in the right songs. We better make sure we're taking in the right things that are going into our eyes and going into our ears, because what is it doing? That's filling up that container of that heart, the great reservoir, because out of that heart right there are the issues of life. Have you ever heard this phrase before? That person's full of themselves. Oh, yeah. What are they dripping with? They're dripping with arrogance and pride because they're full in their heart. They're full of themselves. But if we're full of the Word, there'll be fruits unto righteousness that are produced in our lives. I tell you what, my friend, I want to be full of the Word. We need a revival. We need a revival in the Word of God and a revival in the things of God. May we get filled up with the right things. And I believe you'll see in your life a fruit unto holiness and righteousness unto God. Let's everybody stand.